We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Thank you. If you wanna talk, you can call me now, call me anytime.
Happy Wednesday to everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. And I tell you, on today, y'all, it's going to be an amazing day, an amazing time to have great conversation. Just not conversation, y'all, but great conversation that's going to take place on this morning. You are listening to Dr. Talisa Franklin. Let's have a talk with Talisa right here in the studios of 91.7 WYXR Crosstown Concourse, y'all. So if you're walking through Concourse, hey y'all, we're gonna have a great conversation on today. And if you're listening to us on the radio 91.7, hey y'all. And if you're listening online at WYXR, we thank you so much for listening. But this day we're going to have a conversation with my brother and my friend. Definitely is a friend to me, and a brother, a man that has been doing the work on the community on the streets. You know, many people say Talisa, and sometimes when they meet me now, I was like, Talisa, where did you come from? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, I've been doing the work in the community for decades now. And when I tell you, I am not tired yet. I'm just always trying to see where can I put my hand and who can I partner with so that we can do better work in the community. And so I'm grateful that every opportunity that God allows me, I get to do work with Commissioner Charlie Caswell. And we know this week, and everybody's going to be talking about MLK, and today is actually his birthday. But we need to have some serious conversations about unity, right? One thing at the National Civil Rights Museum that the conversation is about community over chaos. And I think the theme for this year is really fitting for our community. And definitely you can catch me out at the National Civil Rights Museum on this Monday. I will be doing from 1 to 5. We'll be live right there at the Civil Rights Museum talking and having conversations about where we are now. But let me go ahead and jump in this conversation, y'all, because it's going to be a conversation with the one and the only, my brother, my friend, District 6 proud commissioner Charlie Caswell. Hello, my brother.
Hey, sister, how you doing?
Man, amazing.
All right, like an energizer bunny, you just keep going and going.
Can't stop. Get it. Yeah. We can't stop for our people.
We can't. We got a lot of work to do, as we see. And you know, in a couple of, well, a week or so from now, Monday, we're going to have a new administration in D.C., and we got much more
Ooh,
work to do.
And much prayers.
Yeah, much prayers. Yeah. But God got us. Yes. We ain't big and we believe
in. Absolutely. And I keep telling people, it don't matter who in the White House, but it's God in your house.
That's right.
Because see, we need God in that house.
Never seen the righteous forsaken.
Nor his seed.
Big and bring.
Y'all better know the word. So let me talk, y'all. Commissioner, before we dive in, because I know I want to talk about the big march that we got going on for Monday. And I just want to talk, you know, because you're not a regular commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are one that's boots on the ground. You're approachable. You're all about the people. You're all about collaboration and not competing. For me, it says something about a true leader in our community.
Yeah.
And so before we dive in, tell our listeners, because I tell people, many times, I got billboards all over this city, and still people don't know Talisa Franklin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm always reintroducing myself. Yeah. So will you tell our listeners right here on 91.7 WYXR, who is Dr. Charlie Caswell?
All right. And then I always have a doctor before the name again. It's beautiful to be here with you, and especially in this place, as I look at the kids and who get to experience all that this space has, too. Yes. But Charlie Caswell is that kid who grew up right down the street from here. Actually, when I grew up in the Dixon Project down the street, this cereal's place is where my mother worked. Right. So I remember having to cross over to what we used to call Suicide Hill, come through I-40 up under the bridge to come over here. And I ain't gonna say I was stealing out of here, but I was visiting Cheryl's at that time. But growing up at that time in the projects, seeing so much, right, that it was poverty everywhere. It was trauma everywhere. We had at my early years as a child, seeing crack cocaine come on the street, being experienced to that. Big family, 17 brothers and sisters, 10 of us was there in Dixon Home, 7 daddy had around town. But we all now are close-knit family, so I come from that unity of family. I come from that community of coming together. So the work that I do in this space really comes from that, having that big relationship and that big family. And so I'm excited about who I am. And again, for those who say, Charlie, you do a lot of work as a commissioner, but this is what I've been doing.
Right. It ain't new to.
It ain't new to me. Formerly running a couple of nonprofits, Rangeland Community Development Corporation, then pastoring Union Grove Baptist Church for 3 years in that season. I said that was my Jesus ministry season, right?
Yeah.
It's 3 years in ministry of walking the earth. That gave me really the capacity to understand that I was in a position, but not in my purpose.
Ooh.
And I jumped out of that position quickly when God told me and started to begin to walk in my purpose. Seeing that, and to those who are listening, always understand the power of walking in your purpose. I went from being the overseer at that time of a couple of hundred to tens of thousands now, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this role of commissioner to really better the quality of life of the people. But I got to see so much over these years working with people like yourself, the need that's in our community, mm-hmm. a lot of understanding then being that young man who witnessed at 14 years old, my good friend killed in front of me, sadly by another friend,
mm-hmm.
right? And that friend, him going to jail and doing 10 years, and then the next year seeing a friend shot in the head right in front of us on our steps there in the projects, Dixon Home, and carrying that for many years as an angry young black boy who felt like I was going to be that next gunshot or
mm-hmm.
the person who have to shoot somebody, right? Because that's the trauma that we experience. So to grow up and have mentors and people in my life like Director Tony Armstrong, I can really say him and Burnell Smith Sr., not Junior from his son, but his daddy, they worked together. He was the director at the time of the Boys and Girls Club. And Tony was a rookie police officer. And Tony used to call him and say, man, come get Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, he up here on this track, man. They'll come back and take me to soccer games, baseball games. Just kept me out
they
the neighborhood.
They saw something.
They saw something in me, right? And so the work that I do is I see something in our young people. Despite the communities, the neighborhoods, the trauma that they go through, I can see the good in them no matter what's around them,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's who I am. That's what I operate in the space of now. Just having now an upstream office, right, being a legislator here in Shelby County as a commissioner who represents. And a lot of people said Frazier because Frazier used to be part of District 6 until
uh-huh.
I got elected. They said, no, let's change the district. So they gave me unincorporated Shelby County to the north and then all of Raleigh and then the Nutbush community, which I love all of our stakeholders. And I thank you, Talisa, to show you how much we care about our stakeholders. People said, Charlie, why you do so many things for the Hispanic community, the yearly events that you do, the money we give it for after school programs to the Amigo Foundation? It's because I don't care if they're 2% of our community. They're still part of our community.
Amen.
Right? And so we got to live together. And if we don't bring them up, then guess what? It's a matter of time for they're pulling at us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in that way where they said, you rob from the rich to give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, in many of our communities, we robbing from the poor to give to the poor, right?
Right.
And so what do we do to change that narrative? We've been doing that. And so we've been intentional about that work. We have created in our community a District 6 ecosystem, right, where we are doing wraparound District 6, where we are working with stakeholders like Pastor Leon Jones with the Dwelling Place and Sin Relief, Pastor Broadnecks, all right, with the University and Embassy of Faith. And then now looking forward, we was going to have the ribbon cutting last week with Pure Academy and Mevin Cole and what he's about to change
yes.
that Nutbush community in a mighty way with young men like myself growing up who many would have given up on.
Mm-hmm.
But he's changing the trajectory of their life. And these kids living there in that community, in that space, going on to Division I schools and doing amazing work because somebody's seen something in them.
Yes.
So shout out to those leaders and many more like yourself who just, again, partnered with us on the amazing Christmas parade and Christmas tree lighting event.
Yeah.
That's about bringing community together so that they can see that this unity in our community. So.
And, you know, there's a lot of times you see people say, what they doing over there?
Yeah.
And it takes what you're doing. I believe you're creating the model for other commissioners, for other city council, for other statesmen to say, this is what we gotta do.
Yeah.
It's not a party of one, it's a party of we.
Mm.
How can we together move our community? And you have demonstrated what that looks like.
Yeah.
And so I know we're gonna talk about this an amazing event that we're going to deal with on Monday. But you know, even before that, you know, we always talking about how do we move the needle? How do we make things better
yeah.
in our community? Like right now, for me, when I think about the National Civil Rights Museum's theme this year is, chaos, community, because right now we have a lot of chaos in our community. And I know that many people have just, you know, talked about what happened at the county commission. But I believe that we have to understand from every action, there is a reaction.
Right.
And sometimes when some people team up with other people, it's not for our benefit.
Right.
Because I'm learning. Yeah. And what I've learned, especially with this thing that, you know, I absolutely love Dr. Fagans. Yeah. I think she's an amazing, wonderful, beautiful leader, right? Mm-hmm. I love the school board leaders, right? Because I believe they campaign. They believed in making for things. All I want people to say, what about the children?
Yeah.
What really, because I'm hearing everybody has their agendas.
Yeah.
And then I look on social media very briefly, and then I see people with their own agenda.
Yeah.
It ain't God's agenda.
Yeah.
It ain't the children's agenda.
Right.
It's their agenda.
Yeah.
And you, as being in your role where the Shelby County Board of Commissioners literally fund the school system, how do you keep it balanced? Because you have children that's in the school system, but you understand both roles as a parent and also as a how do you keep your balance where you're still able to make sound decisions, not from you? Because what I see some of our leaders will do is make political decisions for their next move.
For their next move, right. And for me, I concur less about the next move.
Yes, you do.
So it's because even before I ran for office, I was already making moves, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at almost $800,000 we got invested into a building in Fraser right now that we're working even to create an opportunity school, and that's what we've been doing for years, right, before this work. And so that didn't come out of waiting on a grant, waiting on somebody to give me an opportunity. I come from a place that we know we got to take advantage. It's something that I learned many years ago, Talisa, that helped me with the judgments and decisions that I make on this body. It was that in China, the word crisis is not in the dictionary. The word crisis is opportunity. And so many times when people see crisis, I see opportunity. Mm. So I had to learn that early in my life. It was people saw crisis. Charlie, what are we going to do? We living in the project. I see opportunity. So I went around selling paper when nobody else wouldn't sell paper. I went across the street and asked a man at 14 years old, they was like, the China's taking over the street. Over the community. Yeah. I went over there and got a job at making 50 cents an hour cooking Chinese rice at the cross street from Dixon Home. I seen opportunity, right? And so I grew, and it taught me business at an early age, right? So that's something that I learned early, is that I don't just look at it as crisis. You might see the sky falling, but I see the rain, the clouds getting closer, right? The rain is coming. And it's just, you got this way you look at things, right? In the way that you handle things. And so even in, you know, my decision to not support a no confidence this vote, even though I was on board to support the amendment that Commissioner Whaley was putting forth to hold accountable, right, around academics and data that we need to know from a board who is making these type of decisions. Mm-hmm. What is your plan? What is your vision, right? And so that we can know that we're supporting or following somebody, and we can support that if we know what that looked like, right? But for just in, and I just use as a part of one of the commissioners I've been working with for years, even before she got elected, Commissioner Stephanie Love, is this ain't somebody that I just can say in one vote I don't have confidence in her, because when 2017 hit our city and all the storm lights went out from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. going door to door feeding people in our community, that was the only elected official that was with me in our church in that neighborhood. And those who do know the work we did with Union Grove, we fed 6,000 people in 1 week when the government wouldn't even show up. Marilyn Strickland them showed up 4 days later with some outdated tater chips, and the what we gonna do? But she was there day one fixing sandwiches, making sure. Not only that, when they was talking about not investing into Fraser, she was fighting for Fraser to get a brand new high school. Mm-hmm. And for now, we just that same night that they wanted to say no confidence, we voted on what that board and that body, not just under Superintendent Fagan, this was with Superintendent Tony, this was with Superintendent Ray, that we were pushing for these dollars to get in that budget to do. Mm-hmm. I too, right now, at this point, for what I know and seen of Dr. Fagan, I feel like she is doing a job that I can appreciate. Mm-hmm. I don't know everything that elected body know and what they do. They don't know everything that we do until it come out in public, right? Mm-hmm. And so I still want to see all of the things. I know she had an opportunity to respond last night. And I pray that it's not emotional and driven in what the decision that comes out of this, right? Because at the end of the day, we still got to continue to do the work of the opportunity we have mm-hmm. to raise up the greatest generation yet to come mm-hmm. in this new technology world, right? Many of them have been born under this internet.
Yes, Lord.
And AI is either going to be doing their job or they're going to be the ones building AI to do a job. Mm-hmm. So we got to be ready for this.
You said something that I would always tell people. If you love me when I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Love me when I'm wrong, was strong enough to tell me, T, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm going to still love you, right?
Right.
And what I just heard from you was, regardless of how everybody else feels yeah. about Commissioner Love,
mm-hmm.
you told many people that's listening right now some attributes they probably didn't know.
Right, right.
That she has been serving.
Yeah.
She has been giving.
Yeah.
And she has been dedicated. So regardless if you don't like this decision that she's making right now, still give her credit for the fighter that she is.
Right.
And I admire and respect her because I saw a young lady that came back from a stroke. And yeah. many people never recover from a stroke, right? But she came back fighting
yeah.
and serving when others probably would have told her, girl, leave that stuff alone
yeah.
and live your life.
Yeah.
So it was something about the children. And I'm glad that you shared that with our listeners because a lot of times people only would... It would do something if people say, well, Talisa did this and it was negative.
Yeah.
But nobody ever said all the things I did for decades
mm-hmm.
that was good, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to have true people, true friends that know. Because, like, if somebody would say something about a Charlie Caswell, I'd say, oh, no, partner.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say nothing about him.
Yeah.
Man, you may not like his decision
yeah.
or his politics or where he is now.
Yeah.
But let's go back when nobody coming to save us,
yeah.
he was feeding the people in Frazier.
Yeah.
He was making sure the people had what they need. You were filling the gap even without being elected official.
And I'm going to do that when it's all over.
You hear me? Because yeah. I get it. People always tell me for years,
yeah.
you do more than the people elected. I ain't got nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Right.
I'm going to serve. I ain't got nothing to do with they ain't giving. Here I am. I'm going to give. Why? Because I know what it looks like to be on Need Street, right? Hell, I think we was in the beginning of Need Street
yeah.
because I know what they look like.
And I say this to Lisa to that point that, you know, I say to anybody that think that this job is easy or this role or the decisions that we have to make, run for office. Don't just sit back and talk. That's where I was. I was at a place that I was frustrated because I was going to the state again on my own dime before I ran for office, going across the state, pushing for adverse childhood experiences mm-hmm. and trauma in the lives of our children. One of the commissioners, when everybody else would laugh and talk about what is ACEs, what are you talking about? Commissioner Love said, bring me some information. She sat down, went through the training with me. She took that resolution to the board, this was some years ago, and got it approved so that schools in our community become trauma-informed. That led to some of the mental health clinic that came up in BTW, in Manassas, in Cordova. A lot of people don't know that's where that came from. Not only did that come from that came from a statewide legislative under Senator Katrina Robertson that she did it, that all across this state we're seeing it. I've been traveling this state and we're seeing them become more trauma-informed, trauma responsive to children and families because a commissioner in this city chose to listen to a little old child
that
wasn't in office at the time. I wasn't in office. I was just doing the work, paying our own lobbyists. Matter of fact, got again, shout out to Marie Pinezzo who partnered with us at the time to get House Bill 2588 passed, that if you get a voice in the state of Tennessee, a parent has to go through these ACEs training. Now we got parents that's calling us at, man, we now recognize it was our own ACEs that was happening, that we are getting ready to pass that down to our children, now getting counseling and rethinking that thing. So that's what it's all about, right? Is that if you are true to this work, it don't matter if you're sitting in this seat or in the community, mm-hmm. do the work on purpose, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I am.
And I love it because I always tell people when you think about ACEs, I'm a 10.
Yeah.
How many people that are 10 make it to where I am?
Right. Right, right. You most definitely a statistic that broke the barrier. You was an excuse eraser. And, you know, I got 8 out of it. And then when they added bullying and stuff, I got a bunch of more
yeah.
poverty and those other ones that's not even on their original 10 assessment.
Uh-huh.
And for those who don't know, you can go to Adverse Childhood Experience Survey. You can do the test online and see where you rank. And it gives you an idea. Again, it's not a death sentence to you, but it is a tool to let you know that many times as I said to Lisa, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. Heal people heal people. And so we got to really dig deep. Even on this school board, even with the people that we bring in as our leader, we got to make sure we're assessing what happened before we just give people these opportunities. Yes. Because, again, that hurt gonna come out on you. Yeah. And the last thing I want to do as a leader in my community is hurt more people because I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. I didn't run for office, and I thank God, until I knew that a healing took place inside of me, that I know what the decisions I make and the things I do is affecting 76,000 people within my district, but over 960,000 people across this county. Yeah.
And so when you think about that, here we are now. We're coming up to MLK weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be talking about, I have a dream. Everybody's going to be doing. But literally, what dream are you having?
Yeah.
Because right now, if Dr. King was here, I would say this is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare, yeah.
This is a nightmare.
But but this is the proper opportunity, though. Mm-hmm. And until most light comes out of darkness.
Yeah.
So the thing is that where are the people who do have that light? Because this is the prime opportunity to bring people to the light who just been in a nightmare. And we may just seeing it now, but this been people reality. White pass a superintendent, where pays a school board, where cause some child last night didn't eat, some child last night had to sleep with domestic violence, and how some child, when we talk about it, got molested last night, and they still had to show up in school. Nightmare, right? So when we talking about just this reality, it's a reality that many of these kids seeing every day. Mm-hmm. This don't even matter. This ain't gonna matter when it's all over with.
Yeah.
Unless we as a community is being intentional about addressing the nightmare of changing that narrative. And that's what we hoping to do in part on Monday with our event that we're pushing forward, and really to join brothers all across the nation to actually make this happen. So, you know, change is going to have to start with us, and change start when you see darkness and you know you the light, you know that you have purpose, add something to it. Don't just talk about the problem. What is the solution that you bring to this equation?
Absolutely. So let's talk about the name of the event is Power Itself. And it's, y'all, let me tell you, I need every man, and is it just only
black
African-American? I need every
African-American
black man.
Yeah.
Put it on your calendar. Make sure you get up. Because if you have a child, if you have a sister, if you have a mama, we need you to protect us.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to see black men protecting us. I'm just saying from a woman perspective, right? I need to know that if something go down, I'm in this room, but I know I got a man in this room. Yeah. So the man going to tell me, maybe get my butt on his table and you got it. I need
He's supposed to.
You're supposed to.
Now, he might push you out and get under the table. Some of the way some of these men are being raised. Yeah. That part.
So y'all not there. Y'all know about me and my brother's acting, but for real.
Yeah.
But I need every man to come together, y'all. If we ever needed men to come together, we sure need you now.
Need you now.
We need your script. We need your knowledge. We need you. Don't tell me, well, I ain't nobody. Yes, you. If you a man, if you got a third leg, we need you.
Yeah, yeah.
Every third leg individual, which is a man, you need to be with you all. Let's talk about what's happening Monday.
Yeah. We're going to be at Beale Street Landing starting at 8 o'clock again. 8 o'clock is the registration and breakfast. We're going to have some breakfast for you all before we start exactly at 9 o'clock with the agenda that we're going to have there. And let me just say part why this come out. And again, this is not for me. I got to say this because I have been able blessed in my life, despite coming out of a community fully of black, all blacks, been blessed to work with whites and others along the way with the Rotary Club to go across the state. I wouldn't even got across the state. We wouldn't even got some of the laws passed if I didn't have some of my brothers on the other side. Yet, when I look at it now, sitting in this seat, and as you walk down the halls of the commission and you see the generations of commissioners before us that didn't look like us, and you wondering why we so far behind, I look at it this way when I look at some of the policies and the things that my colleague Commissioner Thornton, yes, she's on point in stating where we are right now with the fact that we, out of a $1.6 billion budget, black men probably get 1% of that business, but that's just not because we're not at the table. It's because we don't have capacity to do it. It's because we're working in silos and not together. And we got to understand the reason why it's urgency for me, for now, and coming off a hill of a meeting a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta with Pastor Jamal Bryan and some other brothers around the country, as we put together a national policy agenda, is that our Black caucus just went into office without an agenda. And 25%, sadly, are some of the numbers that say voted Black men voted for Trump in this last election. But you all who pose to represent Black folk then don't even have an agenda. So if he come ask you, what can I do for the Black men who voted for me, you're not going to be able to address that, right? Mm. So we're saying, let's be intentional about that. And I see that as a legislator in my position, where when they don't reach out to me, I said, so now let's reach out, Commissioner Lowry, let's reach out Real Richardson, Pastor Floyd, who went down to Atlanta with us, and our community, and ask these brothers, let's come together around what make life better for you around education and your children. What makes life better for you around mental health and health in your community? What make life better for you around economic development, right? Criminal justice reform and civil justice reform. And what's the other one? I think that's all of them that we're going to be kind of touching on that day and, mm-hmm. and identifying policy. And I say this, as I walk down that hall, what I do know, what made your life what it is now and not better, is that it's like we starting in a race, right, Talisa, and we're in NASCAR race. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, white man, you already 400 laps ahead, right? We have mm-hmm. 400 years of oppression, slavery, and all that came. You're 400 laps ahead. Okay, Hispanics, y'all are 20 laps ahead, mm-hmm. right? And they said, okay, Black man, on the march, get ready, set, go. Y'all starting at the first line, and you running around the track around somebody that's already 400 laps ahead of you.
That's good.
And how do you ever catch up? And so now you're running frustrated, you're running mad, you're running sad, you're running depressed, and watch this here. We're running into each other because we can't catch up with them and killing our brothers without, because we don't have a code of conduct mm-hmm. that we need to work together in unity to get some way, catch up with at least with the Hispanic, let's catch up with the 30 laps yeah. right now. So, but our frustration is, you know, we're trying to catch up with the people who 400 laps ahead of us.
No way.
And there's no way. So then what happens? You turn back and start killing your own brother, because you just want to be engaged with somebody, mm-hmm. right? Because they ain't even worried about you. They playing chess. You're trying to do checkers.
Yeah.
So this move on Monday is saying, hey, we're going to start there. And then again, this is not just a one event thing. We already have a calendar of events. We're looking even to partnering with you on Juneteenth,
absolutely.
Bringing men together around gun violence prevention. So every month we're going to be doing things throughout our city and communities. And we believe this narrative works. And I'm going to tell you why. To the listeners, Talisa, why we believe this narrative worked. Back in 2016, Frazier had the highest murder rate. We had 228 murders at the time. In Frazier, Raleigh, we had 32 murders. I think that was the number, 32 murders. We had the highest number of kids, 750 plus kids every year going to jail for the top 10 incidents in Shelby County out of Austin Peay Station. Pastor Floyd, Pastor DeAndre Brown, Pastor Barry Martin, Pastor Ellis, Myron Thomas, myself, Colonel Kirkwood, State Representative Parkinson, we all came together and said, and there were some other leaders, that we need to start Blue Community, we need to start at Frazier Athletic League, and we need to start doing something that changed that narrative, mm-hmm. right, of what we're seeing in this community. When we did, and we came together, start buying uniforms out of our own, thank you, Dr. Bobby White, who allowed us to use MLK High School to run these athletic games. But before we ran these athletic games, guess what we were doing? We was doing cleanups in a different community. So the Vice Lord and people on west side of Frazier, we was taking them to the east side of Frazier where you had Fast Cash and the other one.
Yeah.
And I know that those out there listening, no, Charlie, we was on the west side. I know, I ain't worrying about demographics right now. I just know y'all was in the neighborhood. And we took them to each other neighborhood and did cleanups, right? So what we saw was now these young people working together, they was working with the police, they was working with the pastors and leaders, and we went down to 2017, and this is all documented on record, to 250 kids from 750 kids every year prior to that. The next year, 230 kids, and we saw a 50% decrease in murders in that neighborhood from 32 to 17 to 15 over those next 2 years, all documented. So we know if we did it in that one community, what do it look like if we spread this to all nine precincts in the city wow. of Memphis, and that's where we're going with this. So,
and that's impactful because I remember during that time because I produced a TV show for.
Oh yep, yep.
I remember I used to produce a TV show, and I saw how the community felt engaged.
Yeah.
And they felt involved.
Yeah.
They didn't feel like y'all was talking at them, but y'all talked to them and listened to them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think what you guys are going to impact see happen after Monday, men that thought they had no voice will finally say, man, I do have a voice.
Yes, yes, yes.
I do have an opinion.
Yes.
And they're still listening to me because you're right. We're 400 years, and it's not just for black men. Come on, it's black women
yep,
too,
yep,
y'all.
Yep, yep.
So we even want father, right?
Well, yeah. But yeah, but that's the thing, though, as you said, though, when it comes to the women, if the men are in their proper, then the women automatically, right,
yep,
will come ahead. And we got to be intentional about what do that look like. Mm-hmm. And again, I shout out to our strong black women. My mama had to do it, man. My daddy was on dialysis from the day I was born. He couldn't really work, and I mean, didn't work. And so until he came to his death, but my mama was taking her all of us, right? She was up in here, and when I said serial working, she was doing what she had to do with a GED, but still fighting as a strong black woman. Yeah. So I know what the power of what a black woman can do, right,
yeah,
in our community, and many of us do. Yet it's time. It's time, if no other time than like now. Week before last, Talisa, when we were in Atlanta and 700 men from around the country came together, when we left that church down the street from where Dr. King was, we mm-hmm. then marched down to the gravesite of Dr. King. I kept hearing God say in my spirit, but he died in your city.
Hey.
So you have to dream how to come alive in your city. And so, and I was emailing with Dr. Brian them yesterday to let him know, like, we moving, right?
Uh-huh.
We're preparing our people in a policy agenda looking forward to marrying this, right? That we're taking something to D.C. in the coming months and look forward in, around September. So I said, in January, we conceived the baby. In September, the ninth month, we going to birth this baby. So come on, y'all. We need y'all to be a part of this movement starting Monday at 8 o'clock. To 12 o'clock. And I ain't going to tell y'all what we're going to do at the end, but what we're going to do at the end is going to be powerful, and it's going to send a message out to our city and to our community. So.
It is. Yeah. I will admit it will.
And we're going to join you at the Civil Rights Museum at the end.
Then, you know, then we're going to talk about it live on there. Right?
Live on there.
Because I'm telling y'all, I am just, we're going to talk about it live on there.
Yeah, watch out there.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all don't know. God, I'm so fluid.
Yeah,
I'm so fluid with my life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, Lord, however way you want to do it, whatever you want to do, whoever you want me to talk to, God, I'm going to use my voice for your glory.
You're going to make a way out of it. But Talisa, that's who you are. You these the seeds you sown, right? So work the spaces that you in, and that's what I pray for that we get away with some of this, right? If some of the brothers getting jealous and mad at another brother doing it, because what I said is this brother look like he getting ahead, we got to pull him back. That old mm-hmm. crab in the barrel. But instead of, no, let's push him ahead.
Yep.
Let's give him more natural boost so he can catch up. Why? Because if he catch up, that gives me power to catch up.
Exactly.
I got somebody that I can look to, grab to, pull on because we help them get in the position, right?
Yep.
That's how we change the narrative of the contracts and the things that we're doing in our community and in our cities. And then that benefits all of people of Shelby County, white man, black man, and all because we're getting our own house in order.
Absolutely. You know what I just saw? So y'all is on live. There was a young man lifted his babies up to see us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That what men got to do. Both his babies.
Yeah.
Men, we need y'all to lift up y'all pretty little girls.
Yeah, yeah.
So y'all little girls can know that a man care.
Yeah.
A man gonna spend time. And maybe there may be some brothers that's out there listening say, you know what, man, I ain't never had no daddy. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my girls or my boys. I've never had that man factor.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody in one of those men can say, man, just walking them through the concourse,
well,
it don't cost a
you
dime.
Get to see it.
Just
yeah.
get to see it. Expose your children to something else, right? Because it's a lot of our black brothers, sadly to say, they never had a father.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I always tell people, many people know I reared my brothers.
Mm.
My mama had five children by five different baby daddies, right?
Yeah.
My brothers, only one of the three knew their dad,
yeah.
right? And so, sometimes I only imagine, I was like, I could only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, I thank God for the few little men that was in their life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine if the village, you know, I was telling my son, because every time he see you and every time it's like y'all are his village,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he
yeah.
know without a shadow of a doubt, he has strong men in Memphis and around the world
yeah.
that his village. I was just in the store with a man that don't look like me, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing he said, how's the boss?
Yeah.
I said, the boss is still being the boss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because
I am grateful that there's a village of men that love my son, and now I'm seeing how he's growing to be the man that I know he should be.
Yeah.
What you guys will be able to do on Saturday.
Monday.
On Monday, you will be able to take a brother that never had a male mentor, that never had a male to speak in their life, for you to show them the tools, some best practices.
Yeah.
And by this time, in 9 months, when y'all birth this baby, we're going to see him as a different boy to a real man.
That's it. That's it. And again, the power of that to the men who are out there. I'm going to have Charlie the Third with me. You make sure that you bring your young men with you. We're going to have other neighborhood, other groups out there with us that's going to have men joining alongside of us. So make sure that you come in, AKAs, give a shout out.
Angelica rocking her AKA, baby. Yeah, she's an AKA.
I mean, people listening, what are you talking about, AKA? They was walking past
the and it's the Founders Day.
Oh, yeah, it's Founders Day, that's right. And but yeah.
Look how she come back.
And so we want to make sure that we bring our young men. We got a couple of young groups come out, because not only when we show up at the National Civil Rights Room, and right after this, we get taking some of those young people to the Grizzlies game with us. Again, mentor that young man, bring them in, because again, as Talisa said, I believe, Talisa, the narrative that we're going to be sending in this city is that they're the ones who feel like they have to do what they're doing because they never had a man in their life.
Right,
so one of the things that we're going to do, and I put this piece out there, is that we're going to ask men to sign that code of conduct before we leave. And that code of conduct, when we talk about honesty and integrity, working together, collaborating, that code of conduct is not in operation. We see that in our community. And I'm going to tell you this, Talisa. Growing up in the community I grew up in, when I saw the code of conduct myself, some of the things that is we're calling for these men to do, I didn't hear that coming up in my neighborhood. It was a dog-eat-dog world, right? You fought for you and your And so now to say, no, this is about us. It's about the village and being intentional about that, man. That's all we're calling the men to do. This is not just another thing. This is a movement towards something greater that's not just for Memphis, but it's going to touch brothers across this country. Memphis, again, as the king lost his life in this city, let's bring life back to our men across the nation by giving them an example and a model to look to and say, in Memphis, where they had the highest murder rate per capita, where they had the most poverty per capita, where they are the blackest community per capita, the black men rose up in Memphis and a change came. And the title of this is Men of Impact. And we're looking to make an impact on this city.
And I can say this, y'all, because I know Charlie K as well.
Yeah.
This ain't no photo op. Because too many times we have leaders that only want a photo op but never want to see people change.
Yeah.
And Charlie, you're not that brother that's always going to look for a photo op, because it's like when the cameras are on you, smiling.
Yeah.
When the cameras are off, then you become that other person, right?
Right, right.
You're the same on or off. You just that guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling y'all, brother, so what I'm telling you is that you can trust him.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of times people that look like us will start something and then we drop it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I told a group that smiles like, Talisa, I want you to come and do these with these children. I said, no, I'm not. I said, because I'm not going to tell these kids I'm coming every week, because I know I can't come every week. Why? Because now I'll be telling them a lie and I'll be doing like everybody else did, to come in here, take this photo op and tell you, oh, we're going to do this, and knowing good and dang well that I cannot.
Yeah.
Do any of this. I cannot come back every single week, because I know what my life looked like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So let's be intentional about telling the truth.
Yeah.
And one thing about, I know with you leading this, with Will Richardson is an upright man in this community. Of course, Commissioner Mikhail Lowry, his legacy says he's going to do right, right?
Yeah.
Ambassador Pastor Ricky D. Floyd, which I call my twin. I absolutely love and adore him.
Yeah.
These are men that has a track record.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's others like Anthony Harvey, right? Principal Anthony Harvey, former principal at Hawkins Mill Elementary, and doing some things in the district. Pastor Anthony Sledge, who is over the Divine Nine group here.
And I am he.
I am he.
Yeah.
And again, it's great men like that and others who are going to be on the panel. Pastor DeAndre Brown, Devin Lane, State Representative Parkinson, others who are going to be on panel to talk about some of these key issues. And the great thing, I can't even say it now, I said to the men on Monday, but we already already pushing some legislation that we came together with, got people like State Representative G.A. Hardaway and them already up there saying, hey, let's move on some of these things that we feel like we can get done now. So, man, there's greater things to come. You'll hear about those things coming up at that meeting, and then we'll be rolling it out to the city as a whole. But, yes, Talisa, I say this, that, you know, I hear this from the streets so much, people that's out there. Again, I want to give a shout-out to Keidra Franklin.
Oh, Keidra, I spoke
to
yes.
him. I spoke to him, who will also be doing the march. And again, a lot of the people who will be doing his march at 9 o'clock down at 201 Poplar, you want to join them. Those is, some of them who will be gang members, ex-gang members, people from the street, they're going to be there. But we're going to meet up with them as they are meeting down at the Civil Rights Museum later. Again, it's brothers like them that can reach the street in a whole another way.
Yeah.
We want some of the men and those who will be in our meeting, those who can push influencers and policy and things to do things intentional so that we can reach those individuals Keidra going to be working with, and those who are sitting at 201 Poplar who they looking to reach and send a message to on that day. Again, a shout out to all of you who will be doing great work on that day. This is not to take away. This is an add to. This is to be an addition to a movement in our community that we're just not having an MLK Day of Service, but we have an MLK Day of Movement, and a movement that's going to change the narrative, as you talked about, Talisa, seeing different outcomes in our schools, seeing different outcomes, because our schools can look a whole lot different come next year, not just from this vote from the superintendent, from an administrator, from a president who said parents can now get, he's going to push for $10,000 taxes incentive for homeschool. So parents going to say, I just teach my child at home.
Right.
And then, so, you know, that's a whole nother baby.
That's a whole nother, because how they going to, up, Talisa.
Yeah.
Shut up, Talisa. Shut up, because I've been saying, how they going to teach them? Because who going to teach them? Shut up.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to shut up.
Maybe we can push some incentives to make sure the parents get educated before they get there. But and again, when we talk about where we are with the artificial intelligence, right now, sadly, and again, how can I put this, is that it's doing the work for you. You say a couple of sentences, it writes you a whole business plan.
That part.
And so my thing is, how do we use that to their benefit, right? Mm-hmm. Because many of these people, again, I think it's a great tool. You know, I use the tool a lot of times myself for a lot of things. And we got to be intentional about how do we train our kids to use these tools for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And so it's so much and so things that we're looking to come out of this. But this policy summit that we're having on Monday is going to start the initial phase to April 5th. Tentatively put that on your calendar. We're going to roll into a bigger meeting that day where we're going to go from 300 that we're going back to our community to mobilize 2,700 black men to meet us at the Renaissance Center in April.
Yes.
And at that meeting, we're going to have split into the 9 police precincts of your community where we're asking men to create an ecosystem in that community. If a black brother come to you and say, I'm trying to feed my family, what do we have in South Memphis? What do we have in Hickory Hill? Mm-hmm. What do we have in Whitehaven to make sure these brothers are connected? If they saying, I need mental health, what do we have, right? So they'll create that ecosystem in that strategic plan, and then we in our legislative bodies and capacity will then help carry the water for this to say, mm-hmm. how do we make sure that we got resources where the gaps are in these men community where they saying they need this help, So that's going to take us to that, and there's so much more that I need, but I wanted to put that out there to let you know the next thing is already on the table for us from this meeting. Yes. These 300 men are just going to be giving their marching orders. Then we're going to march, and then we're going to show back up in our communities, in our homes, in our churches, in our mosques, because some of our Muslim brothers, we're looking for them to join us again. We want them all, because black is black.
And
I don't care if you're Muslim, Chinese, whatever, you better know when laws and things start to move in. You in the way, or you behind, right? And we got to say, how do we help you get ahead by working together in unity? So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, I'm excited. So again, y'all, when you be a part of this event on Monday with Commissioner Caswell and so many other brothers, know this is not a photo op. This is a movement to mobilize men in our community. And I'm telling you, men, I'm just that girl. I'm a leader. I love to lead.
Yeah.
But it does my heart well when a man, I say something and be a man,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because, but as women, a lot of us, we had no other choice but to be in the role and to lead, to do what we need. But it makes us feel good to see a man.
Yeah.
There's a friend of mine, I just mess with him. He's like, oh, don't you like me telling you what to do? I said, don't you start no mess,
right?
Because you are state representative Parkinson,
right?
And he was like, you know you like somebody to tell you. I said, man, you better stop playing with me, man.
Right.
But in all honesty, it makes me feel good
that
there is a black man, black men that want to cover black women with no agenda.
No agenda, yeah.
Because there are so many times women, we sometimes feel like if this man is doing this, what's his agenda?
Right.
Why do he want to help me?
Right.
And so I know for me, sometimes I put a wall up like, I don't know your agenda, partner.
Right.
So I'm going to let you be.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like knowing that when a Charlie Caswell around me, I know there's no agenda but to cover me. And I think it's the same way with you and I, that if I see you out, I'm going to cover you because I don't want nobody ever tarnish a Charlie Caswell name.
Yeah.
Because the Bible is right and somebody's wrong. And the enemy
good would be evil spoken
of.
Right. And it is many times. And I thank you again for being my sister. My wife, thank you for being my sister. Because, again, when you in a lot of these positions, people try to put you in compromising position and set up. So that's the thing about that integrity, right?
Yes.
Like, how do we cover, am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
When you see them out or you hear something, man, come on, man. You got to watch that. Because they want to see you fall, right? And they want to see so they can say, see, there you go, you know. And again, it's not what's wrong with you. It's what
happened to you,
right? And so many times you're dealing with some things you never address what happened. And that's what we want to do even on Monday. Let's talk about the root cause, right?
Yes.
Because a lot of times, like you said, people do things on surface. They do things and Band-Aid it up. We're going to take the Band-Aid off. We're going to let the blood run out, but then we're going to stitch that thing up and say, let's go back. Now we can help other brothers heal because we are healed from that trauma and those things that tried to kill us, steal up from us, and destroy us.
Absolutely. And the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
But God comes to give us life and life more abundantly. So I'm challenging every man, every one of my sisters is listening to us right now. I need you to get your brothers, your sons, your husbands, your boo, and your boyfriend, and your husband. Is there an age requirement? So if there is a 15-year-old, should a 15-year-old come? Or should a 13-year-old not come?
Nah.
What are we doing with age requirements for young men? Because right now, we got some young men that young boys that need to be taught how to be men because they don't have no daddies.
Let me say this. Men, if you got that 9-month-old baby, bring them. Because I understand epigenetics. I understand the DNA of a man and how you frame up the future of that child.
Yeah.
We got to intentionally put them in right spaces, right?
Yeah.
We got to, you know, give them the space to do that. So we want them all to come. I don't care if they're young, as 10 years old. If you feel like, man, this young man need to hear this and understand and see this. Because again, watch this here. To that point, when Action News 5, 3, 13, 24 come on, they don't care how old you are when they show you that another black man just shot another black man, or another black man just killed another, robbed another black. So they don't care what age you are.
Yeah.
So we don't care. Like, we want to expose them to men that's doing something positive, that's intentional about changing the narrative for their future and the future generation of our community. Again, this work will have an impact on us all.
Mm-hmm.
This would change, again, the narrative of breaking the cycle of poverty. And I want to send a shout out to Pastor Apostle Ricky Floyd, Ambassador Ricky Floyd. When he talk about 2053, many of y'all don't know this, 2053, it is already predicted that black median income will be at zero, meaning that your assets would be at zero. You don't own no land. You don't have no housing. You don't have no way to feed your family. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be a beggar.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to go from believing to being a beggar.
Uh-huh.
So what we're saying now, believe now that we can come together. Believe now that we can work together. Believe now that we can change that narrative to that not being our future outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's already predicted, but how do you change that predicted? By putting into action things like this where we're intentional. intentional about coming together. Well, you got brothers, like you said, and I appreciate you, Talisa, recognizing my heart towards this work that will put his name on the line and push that resolution across the table, because that's the power of the pen. Yeah. God told me at the beginning of the year, I have given you the power of the pen. Now go be fishermen of men.
Hey.
I need men to understand you have a man who has a power of a pen who can bring a resolution forward and say, we're going to put X dollars. Now, again, prayfully, my colleagues can see the value in that,
yes,
but then support that. But this is the way you do that. We organize in every neighborhood, every community, and we fill up city council. We fill up county commission. We pack those buses and go to Nashville and to D.C. Let them see us with the plan. As he said, write the vision, make it plain. He that see it will run with it. Let's give them something to run with.
I love it. Y'all, let me tell you, Commissioner Dr. Charlie Caswell is definitely a brother that is doing the work. I am Dr. Talisa Franklin, so if you're in the concourse, make sure that you connect with us on social media so that you can stay all things connected to our community, especially District 6 and the community, because what we are all working together is to show that Memphis, the Bluff City, we are that city that working together and not apart. We're changing the narrative of what other people feel about Memphis, how they feel about what we're doing in Memphis. Just know that we are that bright and shining star in Memphis. So, Commissioner Caswell, I know this has been great. We're running out of time, but how can people stay connected to all things Charlie Caswell?
Always, if you're out there, again, I don't care if you don't live in my district, my assistant to make sure that you get connected to the district. You can call me at 901-222-1000. That's the county number. That's your number. You pay for that number, 901-222-1000. As for me or my assistant, Lucretia Macklin, we'll make sure you get connected. Or just follow us on social media, Charlie Caswell, my Facebook page, 3V Leader, my Instagram page, and also All Things District 6 is one of our pages. You can see the work that we want you to model in your community, wrap around District 6, all of those names on social media. You can reach out to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner.
Yes, ma'am.
My brother, Dr. Charlie Caswell.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, you are listening to 91.7 WYXR right here in Crosstown Concourse, y'all. We're always having a good time. It's always great. Hey, you have been just listening to Let's Have a Talk with Talisa right here. I am Dr. Talisa Franklin. Make sure you are following me on all social media outlets and know that you catch me each and every Wednesday right here in the Concourse at noon as I bring more community leaders, community people, organizations that is actually doing the work to transform our community. Until next time, know that I love you, absolutely positively love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever, and learn how to be the best version of you, because everybody else is already taken. Be blessed is my prayer for you. I am Dr. Talisa Franklin.
Dylan Betts, you're listening to WYXR.
I'm asking of you, girl, 'cause my heart just ain't that strong.
This is Lakeisha Collins.